This is Bare Naked Politics. This is the podcast that you can come to get all the most confusing news and current affairs and politics stripped back and explained. I'm Julia Bell, and today we're going to have a quickie. In that, the episode is going to be, I'm going to aim for 15 minutes, but if I get it under 20, that counts as a quickie by most people's book. So you can just get all the info you need and go. And for this one, we've got to talk about this PPE corruption scandal. Now, there's loads of layers to this, and I'm kind of going to pick them apart. But just so you initially understand the controversy, basically, it seems like, you know, these big contracts between the government and the people who provide the PPE, the stuff that, you know, frontline workers wear, goggles, masks, aprons, all the rest of it. Well, those contracts are subject to a lot of, let's say, scrutiny. Let's be nice to begin with. But it turns out that the government have been making some very weird and, in fact, inexplicable decisions about which providers to go with and who should provide us this PPE and who we should be giving millions, if not billions, of pounds to. And because it's all so opaque and because we can't get a transparent answer from anybody, lots of political commentators just can't help speculating that, well, the reason we can't get any answers is because these ministers and MPs are either personally benefiting from this or they're giving the business to their mates. And if that wasn't kind of dodgy sounding enough, it's been revealed as well that individual businessmen who have been kind of middlemanning some of these operations, like coordinating which providers get the PPE to the NHS staff, some of them have been able to skim off the top of these, you know, huge budgets, tens of millions of pounds just to pocket for themselves. As in, one person will be making upwards of like 21 million pounds. From PPE contracts that are meant to be in place to save people's lives. The whole thing is so weird and really controversial and frankly scandalous. So I think we need to talk about it in more depth. As you know, this podcast is completely driven by you and by your questions. So I'll be working through the messages I've had on Twitter and Instagram. The handle's the same, at JuliaBell_X. And if you've messaged me about this PPE story, the chances are that I will have looked into it and I'll kind of incorporate it in the episode. So without further ado, let's go. So this story is, it's all kicked off from this finding by the National Audit Office, or the NAO, which sounds like the most unsexy body of people ever. I get that, but oh, have they dug up something incredibly juicy. Basically, the NAO are like a watchdog who just incessantly look at what the government are spending money on, who they're spending it with, that's the big one that we're going to talk about today, and how transparent and traceable they're being with it. So they're just basically there to completely scrutinise and hold the government to account. So even though they don't sound sexy, they're really, really important. And this review that they've done on the government's handling of buying in PPE was fucking scathing. That's definitely the only words I could describe it by. Let me actually read you the opening gambit to this report. So this is just the first sentence, and it is like, gives you an indication of how damning this whole thing is. So it says, the National Audit Office reports a lack of transparency and adequate documentation of some key decisions, such as why particular suppliers were chosen, or how government identified and managed potential conflicts of interest in the awarding of some of these contracts. So it talks about no transparency, it talks about potential conflicts of interest, which basically means, like, are you profiting from this thing and not telling us? Like, it's so damning. And I think, you know, they called it, what is it, investigation into government procurement during the COVID-19 pandemic. But frankly, I think that it should be titled, the government's been dodgy, in capital letters, because that's the kind of vibe you get from it. So let's break it up, because there's a few elements to it. The first accusation there is that the NAO can't work out why particular suppliers were selected to get this PPE to us. Why did the government go with A rather than B? And the best coverage, in my opinion, of this was I watched Newsnight on Tuesday night, and they had the CEO of a PPE supplier company to come and speak to one of the hosts. He was the CEO of a company called Seren Plus, for those of you in the medical community who might have heard of it. And he talked about the government approaching him when the pandemic was kicking off. And apparently they said to him, what's your best price for face masks, for medical grade face masks? And he said, you can have them for 55p each. And the government said, could you drop it to 50p? And he said yes. So it's like this typical haggling situation where they got the best price and, you know, they got him to a fair amount. And then the government came back to him later on and said, actually, scrap that. Can you do it for 21p per unit? And this CEO was like, no, of course not. We'll make a loss if we did it for that. So no way. So then the government sacked him off and he didn't hear from them about it again. And it turns out that the government went with a different company. They went with Ianda Capital, is the name, for this deal to provide medical grade face masks. And Ianda Capital are a currency trading and offshore property company. So absolutely fuck all to do with face masks. Not like this other CEO who runs a company that do this generally. And then you look into it deeper and the government ended up paying this company 65p per unit. So they sacked off the company that's been doing this since before COVID was even a thing. And they paid more per unit for a company that specialises in offshore property. Like, what is going on? You look at that scenario and you think, something's happened there because nothing about that makes sense. Nothing. And if you take the time to look a bit further into this Ianda Capital company, they've been in the news before. Do you remember in August, there was this scandal around the government buying millions of units of face masks for a company that turned out to be the wrong type. So it's just kind of money down the drain because they bought face masks that were completely unusable and that weren't safe for the frontline workers to use. Well, guess who supplied those? Ianda Capital. As you can imagine, Ianda Capital are not happy about all this bad press. And their CEO put out a statement, you know, just to kind of try to mitigate all of this talk. And they were saying, actually, those face masks were perfectly good. And the NHS were initially fine with them. And then they changed their minds. And that's not our fault. And frankly, in his words, it seems politically motivated. So it's all very messy and disputed. Who knows what version of events is true? Either way, the government doesn't come out particularly well in it. And the question remains the same. Why did the government pay more per unit for these medical grade face masks? And why did they go with a company who don't usually do this stuff when they could have paid less and gone with a company who have a lot of experience doing this? It's just weird. And to be honest, the NAO report is basically a 48-page report that can be summed up in that phrase. It is all just weird. And the NAO's main point for publishing this thing is saying, we need more transparency. Why did you opt for these suppliers? Give us a straightforward explanation and show us the transactions in a way that's easy to trace, because we're not seeing that at the moment. Now, the other thing that stood out as just bloody weird about this whole PPE supply story was the sheer amount of profit that certain individuals were making. Like, confusingly massive sums of money. And there's one guy that sticks out in particular, this Spanish businessman, who kind of acted like a middleman getting PPE from manufacturers to the NHS. That was his role, is kind of organising the logistics of that. Gabriel Gonzalez Anderson is his name, just in case you want to know. And from two contracts doing this middleman thing, he made $28 million. $28 million, that's like £21 million, according to the BBC, in taxpayer cash. Remember, the government are paying for this PPE from taxpayer money, and this guy's middlemaning it and skimming off £21 million for himself. How? I mean, look, I'm not blaming him for being entrepreneurial, and I'm not saying, like, you can't earn lots of money by doing a good job. If he was getting us PPE that we needed at an efficient rate, and he was basically saving our asses because the government did not stock up appropriately for the likely event of a pandemic. They knew that this was a possibility. They didn't have what we needed, and he orchestrated a lot of that to get to us. Cool, I'm not bashing him for that. I'm just very confused at how he made £21 million off the back of these contracts. Why so much? Especially when it's to do with supplying life or death equipment to underpaid and overworked medical professionals during a pandemic where people are dying and they can't afford to put food on the table. How are you making so much money? I just can't see how you did £21 million worth of work. And at PMQs, Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, absolutely latched onto this. And he gave Boris Johnson a really hard time, which was incidentally the first ever PMQs where the Prime Minister linked in on Zoom. Because, of course, he's having to quarantine because he came into contact with an MP who tested positive for the virus. He doesn't have symptoms. Boris Johnson doesn't have symptoms. but he's still having to quarantine. So have a listen to Keir Starmer, who is at PMQs physically in the House of Commons, having a go at Boris Johnson, who is having to deal with that over a video link.
And whilst the Prime Minister and Chancellor won't pay people enough to isolate properly, we learnt this week that they can find £21 million of taxpayers' money to pay a go-between to deliver a lucrative contract to the Department of Health. £21 million. I remind the Prime Minister that a few weeks ago he couldn't find that amount of money for free school meals for kids over half term. Does the Prime Minister think that £21 million to a middleman was an acceptable use of taxpayers' money?
Yeah. Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, when this crisis began, we were being urged by the Right Honourable Gentleman to remove the blockages in our procurement process in order to get PPE. And we were facing, as he will remember, a very difficult situation where across the world there were not adequate supplies of PPE. Nobody had enough PPE. We shifted heaven and earth to get 32 billion items of PPE into this country. I'm very proud of what has been achieved. 70% of PPE is now made in this country, or capable of being made in this country, when it was only 1% at the beginning of the pandemic. And it's entirely typical, I may say, of Captain Hindsight, that he now attacks our efforts to procure PPE.
So there you go, Keir Starmer really hammering Boris Johnson there, saying, how can you justify one guy making £21 million off of taxpayer cash, skimming it off the top of these PPE deals, but then in order to get poor kids fed, a footballer, in of course Marcus Rashford, has to kick up a storm just to get you to look into that issue. How is that happening at the same time? And Boris Johnson's response was kind of saying, look, don't be an armchair critic. I'm the one having to do it. You know, he keeps calling him Captain Hindsight, doesn't he? Like, as if, you know, it's very easy for you to criticise me when you're looking at it in the past tense, but I've had to be doing it as it happens. And he didn't, in my opinion, he didn't address the profit thing. He didn't address that question satisfactorily at all. He sort of said, I'm proud of what we've done, end of story. And the issue of why certain people are making so much money just wasn't really addressed. And then one final thing that seems to have royally pissed people off about this PPE issue is that, again, this NAO report uncovered some dodgy looking stuff. It found that more than half of the £18 billion spent on COVID-related equipment and PPE and all the rest of it, more than half of that was spent on contracts that were won without tender. In other words, that contracts were won without any competition. They were just given to a provider without shopping around. And my dad and I were talking about this at dinner last night, and he runs a training company. And he was saying, look, if there's a new client and they're looking for a service, I have to tender for that contract. I have to go in and present why I would be better than any of the competition. And they often the client will talk to me about prices and the service I can offer and the efficiency and all the rest of it. And then they will select the person that they think is best for the job. Naturally, lots of them pick my dad because he's very good. But on something that concerns so much UK taxpayer cash, our cash, why is there not an element of diligence in picking the most suitable and the most experienced and the most cost-effective suppliers? Again, the NAO speculated that, in fact, speculated is too weak. It implied, it hinted that government ministers must be picking contractors that they have conflicts of interest with. So they were mates with the business owners, or they'd worked with them before, or even that they had skin in the game and that they potentially could make a profit out of this thing. Because I don't want you to think that I'm exaggerating this. This is a quote from the report. Suppliers with political connections were 10 times more likely to be awarded contracts. There's no misconstruing that. And look, I'm not just trying to sit here bashing the government saying, you know, you're all dodgy dealers and you're all giving these contracts to your mates. The point is, we just don't know. We just don't know. Some of these decisions seem so weird. People are making ridiculous profits. Contracts are being made without tender. No one's having to compete for it. You're giving higher prices to companies who have got no experience all of this makes no fucking sense. So as far as we're concerned, it seems dodgy. Maybe there's innocent explanations for it. And yes, we're in a pandemic. You're having to break protocol and make quick decisions left, right and centre. So of course, in some of these scenarios, you're probably just going to give something to your mates because you know them, you trust that they can handle the job. That happens in business all the time. I'm not naive, I get that. But the point is, we need transparency. We need to see these dealings. We need to understand why these decisions were made. And at the moment, that's just not the case. Okay, that got a bit ranty. These podcasts are usually a bit more lighthearted, but I have to tell you, I got a bit carried away there. But I hope this has given you a bit of an introduction into this whole PPE mess that's been unveiled by the National Audit Office. I really appreciate that we have bodies who are purely there to hold the government to account. That's what we need. And actually, one question I got was, it's from Alyssa on Instagram, saying, why hasn't anyone been held accountable? Well, that's what the NAO are. That's what they're trying to do, is hold the government accountable. That's literally what they're there for. And it's now on the government to submit evidence for why they chose these suppliers. Hopefully evidence that makes sense, because so far, nothing does. And another question I got from Katie on Instagram was, how was this ever allowed to happen? Well, Katie, unfortunately, it is completely legal to make bad decisions. The governments are perfectly allowed to be a little bit shit at times and to make tremendous mistakes. I wish it was illegal to be bad at your job, although I worry that prisons would be fucking overflowing. The whole employment roster of my mobile phone provider would be in jail in that case. But if any proof comes down to ministers who have personally profited from these transactions and who have kind of manipulated the course of events to personally benefit from them, then, Katie, you're in the territory of corruption. That's the word for it, is corruption. And that is a little bit more prosecutable, if that's a word. This episode might have come across a bit one-sided. I've been very critical of the government today. I understand that. Although in other podcasts, I've been a bit more generous. It just kind of depends on the topic. My job, or how I see my job, is to really explain to you guys what's happening and to just give it to you straight. And this report from the NAO was so damning. And I really want to convey that to you. And I think it is important that we keep a critical eye on the government, especially now. Yes, we're in a pandemic. And yes, we need to some degree kind of rally to get ourselves through this and to not rip ourselves apart. But if the government are making really weird, inexplicable decisions, we have to scrutinize them, kind of whether you voted for them or not. But listen, that's it for this episode. I hope it was quick. I have a feeling that it's actually the length of a normal episode, which will undermine the whole quickie thing. But I'll have to see when I get to the edit. Follow me on Instagram at juliabell_x, especially if you want to message me questions for future episodes. I do try and go through as many as I can. If you want to support this podcast, if you want to keep it going, become a patron. That's the best thing you can do. You get exclusive opinion pieces, updates, explainers, vlogs, all sorts on there. And you only get it if you essentially buy me a coffee. That's how much it costs. And other than that, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, and I will see you in the next one. Okay, bye.